Hi, this is Victor Mendolia, and you are listening to WGXE. I'm with Tiffany Garriga. Tiffany is the alderwoman from Hudson's 2nd Ward, also the majority leader of the Common Council in Hudson. Thanks for joining us. I see that you have interested Congressman John Faso in the conditions over at Bliss Tower. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how that came to be and if you've seen any action on it yet.
Well, the issue about Bliss Towers is something that I've been bringing light to for about 5 years now. With meeting Congressman Faso, it just so happens that we both attended the Martin Luther King annual honor celebration that the Shiloh Baptist Church does every year. And it was very well attended. And I was there, and also our mayor of Hudson, Rick Rector. And so anyway, Faso spoke, Rick Rector, our mayor spoke, and when the event was over, I ran over to Faso before he left to go home. And I said to the congressman, I said, I've been working on this issue for a very long time. Something needs to be done. Will you please come down to Bliss Towers and see for yourself what the people are dealing with? And the congressman looked at me, he looked at his wife, and he said, okay, let's go. Do you drive? And no, I don't drive because I suffer from epilepsy. And I reached over to our mayor, Rick Rector, and asked him, would he join us? I got in the car with the congressman, and we all rode down to Bliss Towers. And we went inside the building, and he got to see for himself what people are living with on a daily basis.
So this was an unannounced visit, and so one of the things about an unannounced visit is that there's no way for management or for the maintenance people or anything to put a good face on it. It just is what it is. So what kind of stuff did you see when you took them through?
That's absolutely true, you know, because that's a possibility that can happen. And, you know, I wanted the congressman to see, like I said, you know, what the people are dealing with on a daily basis. You know, he could have easily said to me, call my office, make an appointment. I came for this event. It's late Sunday. I'm with my wife. No, he took his wife with him and came over to see. And what he saw was, number one, as soon as we entered the building, I showed him how the intercom system is outside, inside instead of out. So if there was an emergency with a resident, the paramedics are called, they're coming to do their job, and they're taking that person to the hospital. But let's say it was in the middle of the night, and that person was discharged and released. Now they come home, but they're locked out of their own apartment building. They couldn't even, they're not even able to ring the intercom to their neighbors to say, hey, can you ring me in? I was at the hospital. Mm-hmm. So they're literally stuck outside, screaming for someone to wake up and come downstairs or open the door, or have to call the police. Mm-hmm. That's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. So I took Congressman Faso inside the staircase, which is an issue that the constituents of mine have been bringing up for many years, as well as myself when I was a former resident there. The staircase are locked 24/7. So if there was an emergency, you're trapped literally in the staircase.
So just to make it clear, so if somebody enters the staircase because there's a fire, let's say, and they start going down the stairs, at the bottom of the stairs they can't get out. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And this is something that the residents are used to in Bliss Towers. So in the event there's a fire, the alarms are going off and people are running out the doors, The people in the building literally themselves, they'll stick a plastic bottle, a book, a shoe, something that will hold the door open that would give people access to go in and out until, you know, maintenance get that phone call to run downstairs and unlock that door, which is ridiculous. So if the building is on fire, if your child is on the school bus and you have to run outside and the elevators are out of service,
can't get in.
Can't get in, can't get out.
That's crazy. So I understand that you also were able to take the congressman up to the ninth floor, the top. That's the top floor of the building. And what did you see up there?
So, you know, it was just so happened when we went to the ninth floor, he was able to see the damage and the conditions of the ceiling, which water drips in for over the past 10 years. And just that happened that night. It was a big garbage can there with water, collecting water. So it wasn't that the congressman took my word for it. He got to see it for himself. He also witnessed doors missing from the incinerator rooms, how filthy they were, and lights that were not there, you know, how dark it was. We also took a tour in the laundry room where the ceiling, parts of the ceiling were missing, you know, and also how the back door is locked. So, you know, it could be one of the dryers give out and there's flames coming out. If that person's door, the exit door to get outside, it's locked. Mm-hmm. You can't get out. So fortunately, that has not happened. But we wanted to take these steps to make sure everything is secure for the people, just in case. Mm-hmm. You know, there has never been a fire drill in the building so that people know exactly what to do. This is just something that, you know, the residents learn to do on themselves and being a community within the building.
Mm-hmm.